everybody. It's Dom from Sheep Farm. Tonight we had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Mark Nesty again for the second time. We had a long, over 2 hour chat. But the reason for this quick message is that initially when we started recording, we had a few problems with Chris's connection. It's always his fault anyway, but so we had to start recording again. So the first 10 minutes came maybe a bit dodgy, but I wanted to leave it in because it does contain some of the essence of what we're going to be discussing later on in the podcast. So hope you enjoy it. Bye. All right, welcome back to Sheep Farm. And with me and Chris tonight, who just opened his bottle of red. What are you drinking tonight, Chris?
Montepulciano.
with us tonight is Dr. Mark Nesty, who's joining us again, back by popular demand, actually. People were asking when he were coming in. He's saying cheers. He says he's got a gin, but it's only water. He's telling me it's only water anyway, but I think it's a G&T.
We'll see how it goes.
How are you? Anyway, Mark, you all right?
I'm good, yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I'm really, really, really struggling with this weather that we usually pay, you know, loads of money to go and experience for 2 weeks and get red. I'm really, really struggling with it. Shocking, isn't it?
We'll come to that later. We'll come to that in a bit.
All
the maps are dark red.
Oh, it's the Empire again. Yeah. Is that what it was?
It's the Empire, isn't it?
I remember as a kid.
Dark red.
That's what it meant. We were told, it's like, oh, we have a quarter of the world's, that sort of stuff, and it was red. Are you too young, to remember this?
No, I remember it. I thought it was pink, but...
Okay. Yeah. I think it should have been pink, but yeah.
I know what you mean, though. They're definitely cranking that heat nonsense up. I mean, from a psychological control, I've heard your friend Susan Mickey's come back out in the news again, saying everybody should be wearing masks still, and that this conservative government will let everybody down again, and all this type of stuff. Not that politics mean anything within this stupidity that's going on, this clown show. But the amount of, again, I know we'll get straight into psychology, but we'll talk about other stuff as well. Mm. But the amount of propaganda constantly that goes down the trauma-based, what I call mind control angle, is non-stop, isn't it?
It's non-stop, and I scribbled down in our little preamble that the three of us had before you switched us on, and we can pick this into one or two other topics that I think we're going to pick up on. But it's like, right, so there's a few ways of looking at this, and maybe one of the ways of viewing it is that this is a symptom. So it's like a symptom. So in terms of how is it that these people feel confident enough at the slightest opportunity as they see it, because, you know, with due respect to her, if that's the right way to open this sentence, the last time I looked, she's not an expert on weather, and they claim to be experts. So these people don't hesitate to have a view on absolutely bloody everything. Yeah. So it's like, have you not got some reticence? What gives them the confidence to just jump in? And it's like we're all waiting for them. So you could say that, you know, a kind of celebrity culture has got out of control amongst celebrities as well as academics and everybody else. Or you could say that this is a symptom of a deeper societal malaise, us, because in a time gone by, if somebody like that chirped up right now and said the things that she's saying right now and on the back of, you know, the political
nonsense
thing that's happening, quite frankly, hardly anybody would listen. Nobody would listen. We don't get any airtime. So maybe an interesting thing that's happened is these people are given serious consideration.
Yes.
And their words are listened to by certain quarters. And if you like, we know not all the public, but a large segment of the public are ready to listen to them. And that's a remarkable thing. So I think they're a symptom of something deeper that we're going to get to. So this is me leading into postmodernism and stuff like that we might get into later on. Because these people should never have the clout and influence that they appear to have right now. They should be shut down immediately. Who the hell are you? You're a psychologist. Off you go. You know, stick to your own domain. And if you're speaking as a private citizen, no problem. But they don't. They do slippage.
We're seeing the nanny state on acid, aren't we? Because of what's happened in the last 2 years, everyone just looking for answers to everything, you know. So
yeah,
the nanny state before, which was already good, now it's just gone crazy, hasn't it?
No, you're right. And the answer that I'm looking for increasingly, Chris, is as simple and as clear cut as possible. So, you know, our little conversation again, which we will come on to when we get on to the Novak stuff and the rest of it. And it's like, well, hang on. Usually, in most things we're talking about, there's a few different points of view that are informed, and there's usually a bit of ambiguity. And then you clunk about and you work towards the truth. To get exactly to the truth or to fact is like a long process, usually, if it's something complex. But it's like, again, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of a psychological condition amongst our community.
And it's always open for change, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's always open for change. You know, yeah. You've got to leave that door open in case somebody finds a bit more evidence that takes you just to another place.
Of course, because that's what you do, and that's why you're having dialogue. That's why you're constantly like the asking the questions. Sorry, Chris.
It's like the Johnson thing at the minute, innit? No, it's all right, mate. It's like the Johnson thing at the minute, innit? He did something bad. We need change. It's all going to change if we just find the next right guy.
It seems incredible, doesn't it, that
just need to so find it that seems that right the more, guy out of these six.
Well, it seems incredible because it looks like the more in education, I was going to say something else there, but the more education, at least as it would be recorded formally, the more that we have, which now questions what kind of education we've been having, but the more that people actually look for crystal clear, simplistic, black and white answers. But you would have thought it would be the reverse, because typically that's one of the reasons for advocating on behalf of education of any type, is that it makes you, as it were, it's almost like a character development, that you're more prepared to take time to wrestle with complex ideas and ambiguities to get closer and closer to the truth. And you're right, Chris, everybody's looking for what's the best food then that can sort me out right now, immediately. How can I lose, you know, whatever, 2 stone within 2 weeks, and I want it right now? I mean, it's a quick fix. So you have to ask the deeper question, why are we so addicted to simplistic quick fix answers?
And that is what has got us into this problem, isn't it? Where they can wheel out this so-called expert who's an expert on apparently 200 different things and not really an expert on anything. And they can tell us not only how to live his life, but stop us from living. Just stop us dead, close us down for 6 months or a year, as what's happening now. I've seen some of the headlines on this heat thing. And it said, Britain will grind to a halt. Well, I haven't seen it grind to a halt. Rail tracks will melt and roads will melt and tyres could burst.
Again, let's not do
that's
ages.
That's the front page.
I know, but let's not do ages, but there must be some of our 4 listeners listening, and there has to be one who remembers 1976.
I remember it.
Well, yeah. Bloody hell, it was sensational. I remember working on the farm 1976 as a sort of summer job. And it was up in the barns and what have you. And you were dripping. Guess what you did? You drank loads of orange juice. And it was orange juice. There was no vodka in it. I know it was 16, but it was orange juice. And you were dripping. And it was brilliant. And it was the whole summer.
Yeah.
There was nobody said a word except, this is fantastic. This must be like, you know, France. This or to be French for a moment. Yeah. This, well, maybe not French. This must be like, that's too controversial. This must be like...
Yeah.
Right. So there are moments. We're not suggesting that everything should be like 27,000 questions all the time. But it's almost like it's gone upside down. That stuff that needs lots of discussion, debate, is subtle, is complex, gets a fast answer. And the other stuff, nobody makes any decisions. Right. What should we do here? Well, I think we'll open the school and we'll get on with the kids and it'll be in. No, I think we need to have 10 different people to have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
I don't think you do.
We need to open up the Cobra team again and get the Cobra team out and have meetings about nothing. Tell us about global climate warming nonsense is going to happen and it's happening now. What does Greta Thunberg say? A house is on fire. She wrote a book called A House is on Fire.
Amazing, isn't it? And it'll be sounding like hotcakes, excuse the pun.
Something like hotcakes. Something like hot houses.
You know that Cobra thing, Dom? Just think about it, right? So you're coming up with an acronym. You're coming up with what the title, I can't remember what the hell it stands for, little bits of it. But anyway, at my best of moments, I can remember it. But the thing is, so Cobra, and it's like, oh, Cobra, that's a snake. So basically, you've got a room full of snakes. They can't even think like that. I'm not listening to a room full of snakes.
No, a pit of snakes.
We want to insult human beings because we don't think they're very trustworthy. We call them snakes. Might be a bit unfair on snakes, but, you know, that's historically true, and it probably is across many cultures. So this just shows how we're going to talk about elites. I know we are. That just shows how absolutely uninterested they are in us. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny little example, but it's just dawned on me now. Hello, Cobra. That's not a great name for something that's meant to be saving us in Cobras.
Right, we've had to swap over to Zoom because we're having a bit of a technical issue with Chris's connection.
He had
red wine in it. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying it were your connection, that's all, and that you're a useless twat. And
if it were Dom's mic, it'd be a totally different story.
Like, it's not your mic.
The thing is, my computer needs to be re-eaten, what it is, right? But if it's me, your computer's shit.
No, there's not wrong with your computer, Chris. It's you.
Me.
Right, I'm glad you two brothers are having a go at each other and I'm sitting on the sidelines.
Luckily, we've got our resident psychologist here as well.
Give us some juicy meat on that, how we talk to each other.
No, I don't do anything unless it's for 150 quid for half an hour session.
We do 15 minutes for 25. Yes,
no, you two, it's too deep. Way too far. I've got my expertise.
Barton, so we were talking about basically celebrity. I think we're talking about that. Where now any celebrity, and I remember going back quite a while when Princess Diana got knocked off, that one of the Spice Girls, I think it was Jerry Elliwell, took over from her with the UN, advising people about landmines.
Did she? Right.
Yeah, this was going back into the early 2000s.
It rings a bell, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And so even way back when, we've got these clowns telling us to don't stand on landmines that we dropped in the first place, or sold the weapons to them despot countries in the first place. And then even if you go back even further, you had Elvis, who was anti-polio vaccine, being made to have a polio jab in the 1950s while he had his army uniform on, having a polio jab. That's not a right lot different from what we've just been through, is it?
No, as a, inverted commas, role model, which is this strange thing that's going on at the moment, that it's like somebody's actually used the word. In fact, it's been used frequently. It's like, so we need role models to encourage the great unwashed, all of us, to take medicines. Yeah. And it's like, really? What, who are these role models? Oh, no, they just happen to be celebrity chefs or sports stars.
Gareth Southgate.
Oh, do celebrity. No. So it absolutely is true. Anyone from all walks of life and all different kind of domains. And the most amazing thing is that the elite, I know we're going to get to who this group are, let's just call them that for the moment till we dismantle what that is later on, but that they actually think, and this is what's really worrying, because I actually think they're kind of right in a large number of cases. They actually think that we listen carefully to these people who they designate as role models. So in a sense, the role models are almost like victims in this. So you're saying about Jerry Halliwell, in a way, it's like, imagine calling her a victim, but in a way, you can imagine advisors somehow going, listen, you've got fantastic currency at the moment. You're a young woman. You're this, this, and this. Britpop, blah, blah, blah. You speak out. It's like, I know, but I don't have anything about it. I know, but neither does she particularly, but she cares. And people are, you know, you've got some charisma and all that. Off you go. And so that's one side of it. The other side of it is that they actually think that we need that. Now, they must think that because the truth is a lot of people do listen to those people for their guidance in their life. Because they don't listen anymore, and haven't for a long time now, to the people who used to be the authority figures.
Or their own common sense.
Which of course was meant to resonate with what the authority figures, that's always been the check. If someone's telling you something, you were to use your own common sense, your own natural, you know, the natural law gives you a kind of, you know, a way of thinking, you were to check that. The rational thinking that you possess as much of a human being, irrespective of your IQ, and you two, some are fast and some are not, and you work it out and go, that sounds reasonable, that sounds rational, you might not have said that, that sounds like it makes sense in relation to reality, yeah. And then you accept it and on you went. But now it seems that role models can be telling you stuff that is literally unreal.
Yeah.
And you know, how's Greta Thunberg, who has she got PhDs in climate science or whatever that may be? Yeah. Has she got PhDs in geography, at least? Has she got, no, how can she? She's just young, some young lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, and you know.
I did quite a bit of research on her family. Anyway, I won't go into her family, but her ancestor, I think it was on her father's side, he actually came up with the hypothesis that CO2, carbon, could cause climate warming in the 1800s. Now, what's the coincidences that roll on 100 and odd years later, his great, 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 whatever ancestor is coming out with this nonsense now?
Could have been a big subject around the dinner table fire.
Yeah, it would have been a big subject. Yeah. Yeah, he was lauded as a climate scientist back in the late 1800s or mid 1800s, when a lot of this stuff, which we haven't got on these bullet points actually, but a lot of us guys in this research community believe there was a reset, an educational reset or an academic reset and a financial reset went on in the mid 1800s when a lot of new theories, let's just say, seem to pop out the woodwork. Obviously, we've got Charles Darwin's as a great example of that. And we've got Galton's eugenics came out of that. We've got even Marxism. Freud came out of that.
More or less the same time. More or less.
And if you look at their families, I mean, I've just started a lot of research on the Huxley dynasty. Mm. And Thomas Huxley came out of that, and he basically invented flying dinosaurs with no evidence that they ever existed. There was no full fossilized flying dinosaur that he found, but they were all probability. But now we take it for granted that there were these flying beasts that were the size of a double-decker bus or what have you.
Well, it's interesting you should say that at that time, because it's almost so. Just think what was going on in the, let's just call it the Western world, the advanced industrial world, in some countries more than others, and this particular country obviously kind of leading this particular this particular way of being, which is massive, rapid industrialization, mechanization, technology. Right, you might smile at the technology, but it was technology compared to the medieval period. It was unbelievably sophisticated, rapid urbanization of the population, leaving the land, leaving the ground, and this is my theme for the night. Leaving reality. Now, I know cities and urbanization tells you we're on it now and we're benefiting from it. I've just turned the water on to put a bit more water. This is not a Luddite show, is it?
No.
We know there are benefits. We know benefits. But also, there's some deeper things that have gone on here in terms of, and I'm going to talk about, I hope anyway, about postmodernism and reality, which is detaching yourself further and further away, which actually allows people to say, let's just say, this is my view of Marxism. So Marx sees around him some terrible conditions in Russia, but in Germany and in England. And then he funnels every single thing of life into economics. And it's like, no, economics is important, but economics is usually there for something else. Economics isn't an end in itself. So, Freud funnels everything basically into your relationships between your parents and your early formation. And it's like, yeah, they're really important. But there's other things that happen as well, and other instances. So these guys with one very, amazing idea, and they're brilliant guys, that doesn't mean that they're absolutely right in everything. They're given this impetus, because think of the confidence there would have been in the Victorian era. I mean, the great bit of the Victorians, if you want, was that they're like, we can do anything.
Yeah, you've got a free rein to think and do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were building stuff all over, Don. They were doing stuff, that was incredible. And I'm not talking about empire now. I'm just talking about in your own country. They were doing unbelievable things in terms of engineering, applied science, the arts. I mean, a burgeoning of all sorts of different sectors. So people, it's hubris. People get ahead of themselves. They get massively ahead of themselves and they start to forget about the bit of life.
Well, again,
it's not that.
We think we're cutting edge, but the Victorians thought they were cutting edge. Go on, sorry, Chris.
Victorians built Hammersmith Bridge, but they've had to wrap it in tinfoil this year because it's too hot.
You see, they're not so bloody clever, are they?
It's been there for 150 years, but this year they've got to wrap it in tinfoil because it might damage it. You fucking joking? What?
Yeah. Smith Bridge. Wait a minute, though, Chris. Yeah, yeah. That's in London, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in London, because London's special, isn't it? Because London's, is it near, is it the Sahara, London?
Yeah, it's near Sahara.
I believe it is. Yeah, I believe that's what it is.
So. Yeah, like definitely. You were saying earlier, Matt, the weather that you go all over the world for, we've got it here, we're all moaning about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, I've got this tan, but we went to Kos and for a week's holiday. And I kept out the sun a bit, actually, so I didn't get too brown. And I was looking around thinking, you know, it's full of people from Holland and what, and all these people go in there and lying out, like, you know, end of the day, like lobsters and what have you, just paying all the hard-earned cash to lie there and get burned. They weren't even getting brown. Yeah. And then I got burned when I went to the Scottish Open, the golf last week, so temperature was like, you know, maybe 20, 21. It's like, I don't need anything for this. Sod it. Scotland. No problem. Yeah, yeah. I came off burned. And I have to say, and my skin's been peeling on my forehead, and I was like quite chuffed when my wife was telling me off, going, "You stupid fool!" And it's like, I know, but that's what you go in front of the sun for.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened when you were a kid.
You Scots are well known for getting deep tans, aren't you?
Well, actually, it's a very good tan that I've got on the top here.
What was that Billy Connolly said? I'm somewhere between a pale shade of blue.
Yeah.
But really, the climate thing, I mean, you jumped away from that interesting point made, though, Dom. No, just it is an incredible level of energy and optimism that brought, I've got mixed feelings about the Victorian era and industrialization. I think there's some unbelievable things that took place that helped human beings and you know, but I'm beginning to see that there's one or two other things that I thought were a bit more neutral. They're not quite so neutral now.
No, when you've got hindsight. And you look at, again, Freud or all these people that were coming, rising to the surface, Darwin, you look at where they came from, you look at who was funding their research, and you realize, that a lot of it were coming from the same old people that are funding this nonsense 150 years into the future. And, you know, the Rhodes Round Table, I know it was the late 1800s when that kicked off, but Cecil Rhodes started up. He was funded by the Rothschilds. Mm. They were funding a lot of this research behind some of these families that were prominent coming through, like Huxley and what have you, and less so now. But a lot of these people, when I looked at Huxley, Huxley's family are spread out so wide. I don't mean Aldous Huxley, I'm on about Thomas Huxley, he was the first one. They're spread out into authors, all sorts of academia, you know, and they're the change agents, if you like, because they're the ones coming up with these theories that then 100 years later we've got to live by. And is that happening by chance? Or is it by design?
Well, I think it's really interesting because when you were speaking there, I was thinking that now I know you put out some bullet points about the elite and are the elite and what is the elite and how do we define them, and then the they, which we might talk about as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember reading in a Chesterton book, and he was making the point that the aristocracy, i.e. the elite, right? So who are the aristocracy? You don't know, it's people who, you know, have inherited wealth, whatever that happens to be. And I don't think he just means through land, he means in, you know, in very broad brush terms. And he's like, no, the aristocracy, who you would think would be the most cautious, conservative with a small c, to protect their wealth, to protect the status quo, because they've already done well, haven't they? So you think they would be the ones who go, we're not having any innovations, we're not having any new stuff. He's like, no, actually throughout history, from Roman times, from ancient Greece, no, the aristocracy are the ones who are always in the vanguard of the most mad new ideas. And you're like, no, that don't make any sense until you start thinking about it differently. And that's why this bit of, is it by design or is it by default? I can't decide. I don't think I'll ever decide. But I know this, I think I'm pretty sure of this, having bumped into a few like we have over our lives, or listened to them anyway, at least as well. I think a lot of it is arrogance.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it is boredom, and they want some meaning, and they want to save the world. Because everybody's saying at the moment, everybody's going, oh, Bill Gates, it's about power. This group, it's about power. It's about power. And it's like, and my question all the time is like, power for what end? Because power in itself, yes, it's something that, that can make you feel good temporarily. But I think even more dangerous than just pure power is that they want to use their power for a particular end. I just happen to think that their end is, in the case of what some of those guys are after, is actually evil. It's destructive. Yeah.
Total
destroy
domination.
Humanity.
Total domination. Sorry, Chris. I think that. Total domination. I think that's the goal, the end goal. And when you talk about a reset, when you think now, I mean, just as an example, I've had an interest in jetpacks and flying cars, right? So, you know, watch YouTube videos about it. Just because, you know, I used to read 2000 AD when I was a kid, and by 2000, we'd all have jetpacks and flying cars. Anyway, I was telling Dom this, in the last couple of years, if you look on YouTube now, literally like 10 countries have ramped up developing the flying cars. So what I'm trying to say is, with the electric car and with these flying taxis that over the last 2 years have really ramped up, the developing them all over the world, you can see that that's part of their new future, can't you? Their new reset.
Yeah, the new plan.
Flying cars will exist in that new future. Like, they've used up the oil car or whatever, and the electric car and these flying taxis or whatever they are, and robots delivering your pizzas. That you can see all these little nuggets are part of their new future.
Well, also, Chris, the going back to the oil part, that gave us too much freedom. So they can't have the old thing. They can't say nobody believes that they're running out of oil, right? So they're now having to change people into electric, which means you won't have the same freedom because you can't fly to Lanzarote or somewhere like that.
And you can turn it off whenever you want.
And you can turn it off whenever you want and control it more.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you literally got an electric charger outside your house. That could, you know, if you run out of money or you run out of credits or whatever the hell the plan is, switch it off.
Yeah. But look how clever this is, though, because it's appealing to the best instincts of people. Because even, you know, we've spoken about this before, last time we chatted, even some of the worst people you can think of in the history of the world, you know, the Hitlers, the Stalins, the, you know, the Maoris, all these people who were guilty of all sorts of incredible...
The Blairs.
Right, indeed, yeah. And some other contemporaries, it's true.
Yeah.
And
the Churchills,
and that you said that,
I definitely said that.
Yeah, you did. I know you've got reasons to as well. Yeah. Oh, and Gallipoli was not his fault. And so what they're doing is they're appealing to, which is so powerful. They appeal to this idea, which is, you know, what's happened with the whole vaccination and the whole COVID pandemic, how it's been handled. Is it's like you must do this for others, even people who, you know. Even criminals, even people who are up to all sorts of stuff, you know, want to do stuff to help somebody else so that they can feel good. Yeah. And also so that they do something good. It's built into us. Mm. And so electric cars and, you know, climate change and all these things, don't give me the details on it. I don't want to know about are they actually cleaner or not. What I want to be told is that what I'm doing is going to help everybody. Yeah. And that is how they're managing to get away with a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've put it down well there, Mark. That's literally the last 2 years and the global climate warming, changing, freezing.
Yeah, nonsense.
It's the same thing, isn't it? It's the same
thing. Look at the farmers. Look, I mean, Chris, this is your world, so it's food production to some degree. It's all our world. But you know, you've been really close to it in relation to food and what is good food. I never thought I'd hear the day, but I did, where it's like, because you have to turn and stand on your head to understand it. Oh, it makes sense now. And it's like, right, so farming... Oh, yeah, so not using so many chemicals and trying to do it a little bit more naturally back to the way that we were before. But you realise that you won't be able to eat quite as much meat as you did before. Okay, that's fine. And they say that, of course, but a certain group are only saying it. And then it's like, right, okay, and eventually, no, we don't need any animals at all. And they're like, all right, really? And they're like, okay, and what are you going to give us then to get protein? Oh, no, it's going to be produced in labs. Well, wait a minute. You told me before that we were going back to medieval farming. It was going to be organic. I was going to be growing tomatoes in my garden that we're not going to grow and whatever, and potatoes. I was going back to that and I was going, okay. And now you're telling me, though, that it's all going to be artificial. It's actually, so the people fundamentally are being duped.
Yeah.
Big time on everything. I mean, we were talking when we were having those connection problems, or Chris problems. we're having those connection problems with Chris's Wi-Fi, and
it's a person. Chris is a person.
Yeah. I forgot what I'm going to say now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. But anyway, did you know, Mark, I don't know if you know, but the BBC has put a team together, the BBC, trustworthy BBC, and they spent a week trying to convince 7 anti-vaxxers to get the COVID jab. So it's a new TV programme where...
Where is that, Fatty? Where did you see that?
I saw it on a... somebody emailed it me.
Is it on TV, I mean?
It will be on TV, yes. It's a BBC TV programme.
I can't wait to watch that.
they've got 7 anti-vaxxers. Whether they are anti-vaxxers or actors, I don't know what they are. I don't know what the outcome is. But, I mean, anybody... I mean, I certainly won't put my name down. Anything BBC, I'm going the opposite direction. But these people, if they are what the class is anti-vaxxers, why are they anti-vaxxers? Why can't they just be, you know, this is the reason why I'm not having one? Going back to what Mark was saying there, that, you know, people have been convinced that they're helping others by having it. Mm. And that's how they've got it through. David Hasselhoff has told me to.
Indeed. I mean, that what an idea for a programme. But again, and maybe a little bit of a theme for the evening is, I know, but imagine the cheek of coming up with a programme like that. We've got no chance. Nobody will be interested in it. It's like, no, they will. No, they will. And then you have to ask the deeper question, well, why are we now in a culture when people will be interested in watching that and will get animated and excited and go, oh, I hate Peter, participant 3. He's a prat. The psychologists have been trying to convince him that you should do this, even though you're a super fit person and you're not in the category who are likely, according to the scientific data, the medical data, likely to have any problems. But this person keeps resisting. And he says things that are really outrageous, like, my reason for not doing this is it's my body and I decide what I would like to put into my body as a medicine. Outrageous. Outrageous. Who is he? Is this the child of Hitler? Who is this person? And you watch the general population, of which I'm no longer part of it. I'm not general population. I don't know whose population I am on my own. You two anyway. So I've come another term and maybe our 6 listeners. They've got 2 more. And it's like they will get excited by it. Yeah. They will enjoy it. How did we get so low?
It reminds you of 1984 hate speech, doesn't it? You know, shouting at the screen.
For sure. No, for sure.
I've spoken to Don about this. I do think in the scheme that they were trying to produce, I don't think it kind of went their way in the fact. I think they wanted us turning on each other a bit nastier. You know, the vaxxed and the anti-vaxxed, if you like. But I don't think that happened. I don't think people cared enough to get that irate. I think they really wanted them to. And that programme will probably be part of trying to get them more irate again. They didn't really turn as nasty as they wanted them to, I don't think.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree with you there, Chris. Yeah.
Mm. That's interesting you should say that, because I put down, and you were going to talk about the Novak Djokovic stuff a little bit, because Wimbledon's just gone. And it's like, he was booed at the French Open. And so the media report it. So I'm like, well, I didn't watch it.
Yeah, but was it though, Mark? Was it?
Or
was
exactly. I'm just reading about a slightly different topic, but about the guys who've gone to this big, you know, the Saudi financed golf tour. Let's put it that way. Right. And that when they played in the Open at St Andrews this week, reading the mainstream media, like Phil Nicholson and a few others who are on this tour, who've been, you know, some being popular, some maybe been less so, but a range of players that, all booed by the... And then you ask the players and they're like, well, I didn't hear any booing. And it maybe a couple of people. Yeah. So it's true. Even I'm like, I think I'm on the... You get worn out. You get worn out and then you just drop your guard and I'm like, I bet you there were some prats there actually booing him, as opposed to, listen, it's quite complicated and all the rest of it. And
do you think, Mark, that the what you've just explained there sounds like the modern day stocks, doesn't it? Where they'll put somebody in the press or on a TV programme like that and just destroy them. Punishment, isn't it?
Yeah. But in a way, because this is in all of us to some degree, but, you know, you fight it. You fight it and you try and develop, you know, whether it's your thinking or your character and all those things, not to fall into this. And the times that you have fallen in your life, we're talking bullying, I mean, the real bully. The times in your life when you've been one, if you're a good person, well-formed, you're not proud of those moments when you kept quiet or you were with the group. Hopefully you weren't leading the group, but maybe you were and you've stepped back. But whenever you're doing that, but definitely they're playing to the lowest common denominator. They're playing to that feature, that mob dangerous feature. And I know, I think you're both probably right that it's been over-egged by our evil mainstream media because they've got another agenda. And they're making it sound as if we're at odds with each other. Mm. And the likelihood is that there's probably extreme parties. And most people are like, no, but how can I hate this person? Because it's my auntie, or it's my brother, or it's my husband and wife. I mean, there's some, we've got some
kids.
My kids, they've got completely different views on what's been going on in the last 2.5 years. And you know, husband and wife, or brother and sister, whatever. And radically different views, but they both care deeply, as it were, about, you know, people being healthy and well-being and having good lives. So no, you're probably right that they are trying very hard to convince us that division is
TV show that Dom was talking about is an example of it, and it hasn't ramped up enough, so they're delivering this TV show, like you said, to get people shouting at the TV screen going that he's, because you know, whether they bring him back or not this winter, that show that Dom's on about will probably be in time just for him to say he's coming back again. We need you to get angry with these bastards.
Well, these are ramped up to get people to have the flu jab out of them and the booster in September. That is
they're offering the flu one to I think 6 month old kids now, are they? Or five? I forgot that wrong. They're offering it to kids now, aren't they? Now I remember I worked in a cafe in Leeds. And it was mainly old folk who came in there. And I remember, so we're going back to 2010, 11. That's when they first brought in the flu jab. And they just brought in for older folk. And now, and it was just, it's just going to be up for older folk. It's just going to be because they're vulnerable at winter, blah, blah, blah. And now it's down to five-year-olds. Why would a five-year-old need to have a flu jab?
Yeah.
Well,
because an expert's telling us that they need it.
But the memory of people forgetting that that happened in 2010, and it was for old folk because they're vulnerable to flu, and then ramp forward 15 years, and now giving it to, I think it's even 6 month old kids now.
It's 6 month old kids that have it.
Yeah,
Chris.
So now, how can everyone forget that thing happened? And a flu to a kid is nothing,
because they've all been lobotomized. Most people have been lobotomized.
You know, you were saying before about the overt examples of division are not quite there, and it might be in some cultures they are more than others, like in the States. I think lucky the States that you can see the division, and it's like, what, you think division is good? It's like, it is. Division is good when it's about important things where you have to decide. Like, because everybody thinks no, you must tolerate, and it's like, no, you mustn't tolerate evil. You can't use that word toleration. It means tolerate what, right? It's not a neutral word. It means tolerate what. So without getting into that, it's interesting what you're saying now, which is, so I think that we're not hearing about the division, and maybe you're quite right, it's not as entrenched and as real as possible, but I'm quite sure this is definitely here, which is our population and the majority of our population are hysterical, and that they have been formed. No, they've been formed now, and now we're finding out this last two years or so, and the reaction to climate change, the reaction to COVID, the reaction to
LGBT, everything.
Identity, all of that. The reaction to the last couple of days, they've been building this for this week, telling us we're all about to die this 2 days, you know, as opposed to if you're elderly, take care. We need all these things. You know, if you've got these, do this, stay. So we've become, it's hysterical. And the interesting thing is, you know, in August, I said I want to see something about recruitment into the mainstream media and about how they think that they can actually say the things like the programme we'll be talking about that they're going to put out, but a whole host of other things that they've said. How are they able to, what they've been doing about, you know, what they've been saying about our temperatures and our weather the last few weeks, what gives them the confidence to make these statements that they won't be laughed out of court? Particularly when, so let me say it now, particularly when, because I constantly do this, what degrees and qualifications have these people got? Now, we all three agree that should not be the final or the first word in somebody in terms of whether they're saying something sensible or not.
It's a starting point, isn't it?
It's a starting point, isn't it? And particularly when somebody's going way out and it's like, hello, He's got a degree in English literature from Leeds University. Yeah. So unless he's talking about Shakespeare, oops, he can't, because that's been banned. But unless he's talking about whoever is bloody left, right, whoever's left that they can read, shut it. I'm sorry. I'm listening to experts across from a range of different institutions who are all equally qualified, who are arguing about these particular topics we're talking about. These people are coming out and speaking to the general public, whether on the BBC, ITV, or the mainstream media. And I think that they're able to get away with it because the general public now have been subject to, it's like they've been emptied. They've been emptied of their natural reasoning and their common understanding. And now it's like a race to the bottom. And quite honestly, if this was, I think I said it in the last session we had, I think we've got a culture that's neurotic. And I don't mean all of us, obviously, that excludes us three.
The 5%,
seven listeners.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. And that has happened over a period of time. Sorry, Chris. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, imagine, right, instead of all this horror show that they've built up over the last week, that we're, you know, it's up to level three danger of death. That's what they say on the news. They say it's a danger of death because it's level three. Using that word because of the weather. Imagine another world, right, where then all they've done for the last week is say it's going to be boiling next week, get your swimming pools ready, make sure you water your plants, drink loads of water. This is fantastic. We've got the same weather here as we've got in Spain. You don't need to go on holiday. Stay in England. Go to the coast.
This is
brilliant. I can't believe this is happening. Imagine if they just said that every day on the TV.
And go and spend your money in the pubs and the cafes and restaurants that are looking for your money because they're going to have a tough time.
This could rejuvenize our economy. We've had a hard 2 years. It's going to be boiling. Go to the parks, buy some ice cream.
Go and see how good Scarborough is. Go and see Whitby. Go and see Filey. Go and see how... Don't make fun of Bridlington and Hornsey. Don't make fun. Go and see how great they are. You get a nice chilling breeze that comes off the North Sea. Even that's thrown in. Get on with it. People who go to that Yorkshire coast have always said...
camping. This is brilliant. Well,
they've always said, you know, we have anyways, it was brought up on that coast, and it's like, you know what? If you had the temperature here that you have in the south of France, can you imagine what the Yorkshire coast would be like?
Totally
now,
different.
In a way, it's saved that it's not, because then the south of France wouldn't be the south of France and the Yorkshire coast wouldn't be the Yorkshire coast.
No, but you're right, though, because...
But when you get a couple of days like that...
All those coastal towns around England, they're all decrepit because everyone went abroad, so they've got no money. If you got hot for 5 years in a row, all the money would go back in and they'd be bustling, wouldn't they?
Yeah. What is the main reason? I mean, I was laughing about it, and this sounds really elitist now. This is like the elites are meant to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's like, so you go on, you know, you go abroad. So we went to, say, Greek island, and it's like, I'm looking at people, not everybody, but 98%. And it's like, what are they here for? They should have been in a greenhouse at home. You could have stayed in a greenhouse at home and just painted themselves because they've really just come for the heat. And it's like, hang on, this is where, you know, the Hippocratic Oath comes from here. Hippocrates comes from this island. Any chance, you know, go and have a look at the Greco-Roman ruins. And they're like, what for? They're in shit condition. And it's like, no, you paid all this money just to come here and get hot. So we've got a chance this week, you could pick it up. This would have been a script in 1971 for John Cleese and Michael Palin. Yeah. They were, and one of them would have gone, Chapman would have gone, well, it's bloody stupid that. You can't have a script like that. It's bloody mad that. Nobody will laugh at that. It's just not funny. It's sick. We are. Maybe we're living in a more... I never thought of that. Maybe we're living in a Monty Python script.
Well, there is...
Yeah, we are definitely.
We are definitely living in some sort of clown world because when we talk to people, like you said, you talk to people, Mark, and if you talk to anybody about a COVID jib-jab, you know, you just get... Screensaver comes on. You can talk about Premiership. You talk about boxing. Talk about what's on TV, films. You talk about that stuff. They just zone out. They're not interested.
I bring that up with Dom all the time, Matt, which is because I work out. I'm a freelance chef, so I just work in different. I'm working in one place now. But what's surprising is you got these places and there's 10, 20 people you see regularly. The last 2 years is not discussed at all, except for maybe. Oh yeah, I did that during lockdown. Oh, this happened, but it's not discussed on a level of something that of that magnitude that happened. It should be talked about.
No, you're more. Right.
Do you know what I mean? No, I just find it weird. I mean, us bozos talk about it.
Yeah,
you know, endlessly.
That's a really interesting point because, of course, what it does to you, it does a number of things. So psychologically, what it does, and even to you boys, it certainly does to me and my wife. And we're like, and I said to her even a couple of nights ago, and it wasn't alcohol induced. It was just normal. I said. And she actually said this, what if we were wrong? I said, no, that's fine. I said, wrong, meaning that some bit of what we're thinking is not right. I said, no, that's the idea, is that we're ready for that. We're open for that. And then I said, don't you think it's strange, just as you've said, Chris, don't you think it's strange that something that has wrecked the economy, forget about the medical health dynamics, forget that, and the legitimacy and ethics and of informed consent and the vaccination, is it one or not? Forget all that for the moment. Just go on basic stuff like the cost of living. Go in terms of you know, the economic at macro level, at micro level. Go in terms of the damage to the social damage, to the social fabric of going out, schools, education, play, all those different things that have been, you know, curtailed or restricted massively. And it's like, and I'm absolutely with you, it's like, how come people are not, at least if they're not raging about this, this should come up every set. It should be boring. People should be talking about this. And there you go, guys, any chance that we can just talk about some Premiership football for a change?
But
it's, even I want to talk about football.
But don't you think psychologically that tells you this level of denial tells you that there is a real genuine deep within people and they're burying it deep within their subconscious that
pushing
they know
didn't exist.
Yeah, they know that they are complicit, and that's a strong word now because it sounds like, you know, we're all in it together and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm sorry, to some degree, you're complicit in this. And when you're complicit in something that you know is, you know, disproportionate, there's a word I'll use, at least, at least that, then either you confront it and do something about it, whatever that tiny thing may be, doesn't really matter as long as you do something, or you you avoid it like the plague. You're so right, Chris. It's incredible.
Seems like we're the only ones talking about it.
Yeah, well, and there's still... People are still, like Chris says, nobody brings it up. I mean, I'm in a more, fortunate that I don't have to sort of mix my neighbours. Well, obviously, I try talking to my neighbours when all this started and they all
walk backward.
They all walk backwards. I said, see you later, Dom. Yeah. But, and now I don't discuss it with any of them. I just can't be bothered having a conversation.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I'm probably out there with random folk more than you two are.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
But don't you think that part of the genius of this is, I mean, evil genius, in fact, to use the right phrase, is that this is touched. And again, I think I spoke about this before, and you know, we had a conversation about this, was that this touches something that everybody is always concerned about, which is health and health. You know, now how dangerous it is or not, let's just put that to one side. And therefore health and ill health and then death. And it's like, listen, this is the ultimate scary topic for human beings. And therefore, the line is, right, we need somebody to tell us, and it's back to what we talked about at the beginning, guys, really, we need somebody to tell us exactly what to do in very simple terms. And it's like, but wait a minute, you're not like that in anything else. You're not like that when we're discussing our defence. Is the Falklands War legitimate or not? Is Iraq legitimate? Economics, social policy, housing, the list is endless. You're not like that on that, but on this you are. And so this has brought complete silence to people. And I'm going to say this, which will make me very unpopular. We've been accused of being selfish.
Not with our listeners.
Maybe not with our 9 listeners now. We're now down to 3. Have they gone?
They've gone.
We typically get accused of being selfish because we're not towing the party line and we're not taking a bullet for the country and all that stuff. It's been said to me, in not quite those words, but very close. I'm going to reverse it. And I'm going to say, actually, at the very least, their view is and their position is quite selfish. Because an awful, not in all cases, but in many cases, what you've just said is so unique. I don't want to have any discussion about it. I don't care. I don't have any discussion about it. I want to be told what to do, like I have never been told what to do in anything else. I've been resisting any authority all the way through my life, and here something comes along, and I'm abdicating my free will to have a thought about it. Well, I'm sorry, that's selfish. I mean, it's cowardly.
Yeah,
it's actually selfish. It's cowardly, but selfish, because what does that say to the younger generation?
Yeah,
what does that say to them?
Well,
certain topics you're not allowed to ask a question about.
I know, and it's sort of our generation, isn't it? As well, you know, your generation, my generation, Chris's generation is a bit younger than me, you know, and my wife a bit younger. But so within a 20 or 30 year, a one generational, what is it, 25 years a generation? that group of people have given away freedom, or what freedom was meant to be, or the thought of freedom.
No, you're absolutely right. And I excuse, you know, let's...
They should be ashamed, Mark.
They should be. But I'm going to excuse the over 80s and crudely, that's not the right figure. But, let's excuse, you know what I mean. Excuse, because of those ages, and also because I have been personally shocked and then said, no, I'm not in their shoes yet. So people who are seriously bright, highly qualified, either through life or formal qualifications or, God willing, both, and who have gone along with this. And I think, well, that just shows that, very, very, very few, when you get to a certain age and the big Grim Reaper is there. And also, to be fair, I think they genuinely think that they've come from an era where they had much more trust in authority. When people told them certain things, they really trusted that they truly meant what they said and had legitimacy behind it. And we're in a bizarre situation where we've kind of gone through an era. And certainly the generation a bit older than us from the 60s, the baby boomers, that generation went through questioning absolutely everything. So here's the moment now. And it turns out that they questioned absolutely everything, but now they question themselves. They believe. This is a strange thing. It's almost though, to give you the substance to ask questions, you've got to have some substance. And they have no substance. They've got no substance, that generation, not in all cases, but I think the majority of them. They are the living embodiment of postmodernism. They believe that there is no such thing as truth. Not that we can't get it slowly and maybe get some close approximation. They do not believe the word even exists. To them, anything goes. And therefore, ironically, the rebellious generation who said we're going to break everything, I think they're actually bloody broken, that generation.
Yeah, they've gone. We're gonna finish the first hour here because I want to get on to what you were just talking about there.
Yeah,
the postmodernism culture and the mediocre lives that they've got planned for us, really.
Yeah,
and all the other stuff that we've got on them bullet points there, Novak and the other stuff for the second hour. So
okay,
we will bid everybody farewell in this first hour. This thing's recording now for once. The Google fairies are with us for once. So we'll see you in the members hour. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
I will grow old, then I will.